Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cast Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol.
Good morning. This is Michael Van Tol. This is the Michael Van Tol Show, Detroit's Sunday morning news and information podcast community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group and brought to you by Benjamin Brothers Realty and the warrior lawyer, Johnny Hawkins. We got the Sunday morning team here, and this morning it is me and Henrietta Ivey, community activist, home care advocate, and our political analyst. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to our guests. Good morning to the Sunday morning team. I know you guys are going to join us soon. And good morning to everyone in the city of Detroit.
Yes, and this morning we have songwriter, producer, and gospel artist, Pastor James Bowman, on the live line with us. Good morning and welcome to the Michael Van Tol Show.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to everyone. Praise the Lord. I know some saints are getting ready for church. We just like to say hello. I'm so honored to be on the Michael Van Tol Show, and I'm just happy to be here today.
And we're so glad you're here, Pastor Bowman. We're going to be talking to you about your new release, Level Up, and your career and concert coming up. So we're looking forward to that. I just want to remind the audience that we have news, weather, and information coming up over the next hour or so. So we're glad you're here to share with us this morning. And, we get right to it on Sunday mornings because we know people are headed to services. And so, again, welcome James Bowman, songwriter, producer, gospel artist. Thank you so much for taking the time this morning, even before you are headed to worship services. So, Pastor Bowman, you have been in the business ministering for over 20 years now. How did you get started, and where did all this passion come from for ministering?
Well, it came from, honestly, just being a child growing up in church. My parents were all in ministry. My dad was a pastor, the bishop now, my mom, and they just raised us in the fear of the Lord, and just learned a lot growing up in church. It's been a blessing to just, you know, get those things put in you as a youth. And as we know, the scripture says, if you place it in us as a youth, when we old, we won't depart.
And, yes,
it's just been
a preacher's kid.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's true. It never goes away. Let me just welcome Kimberly Batchelor Davis, author, speaker, podcaster, part of the Sunday morning team. Good morning, Kimberly. We are
good
here.
Good morning,
with
Michael.
Pastor James Bowman on our live line.
Good morning to our special guest, our amazing Sunday morning team, and good morning, Detroit.
Yes. Okay, so, Pastor Bowman, when did you realize that you had this gift, and how did it start?
Actually, Michael, it started way back. I was probably around 12 years old, we had a piano at the house, and I would kind of sit there, and I would just mess around with chords. I really couldn't play much, but even at an early age, I seemed to be able to put words together, you know, and and make songs and things of that nature. And then even in school, some people don't believe it when I tell them I used to rap back in the day. And
really?
I was a part of a rap group. Yeah, we were rapping. And we was winners in the talent show. And you know, that kind of gave me a first taste of being in front of a large amount of people. you know, outside of church. Yeah.
That's not in your official bio here, though. You did?
No, I'm not. I might need to add that.
We all mature and move on in life, huh? You had a higher calling, right?
Amen. Amen.
I see you have been in a number of groups over the years. Tell us about that. You've not just been performing by yourself or with a choir. You've been in groups over the years too, besides that rap group.
Absolutely. Yeah, when we were younger, a lot younger, obviously, I was a part of a group called the Glorious Brothers, and we were a group of young men that were we all attended the same church under my dad, and we traveled and we sang. We were a group kind of styled similar to the Winans group at that time, Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And we just went about singing. It was a great time. We traveled, just learned a lot, you know, being a young man. It was exciting, and we just had a good time for the Lord out on the road and just doing what we do. We sung in many, many concerts and things of that nature around, even, as you mentioned, Bishop Laster and Prophetess Laster. They used to put on what's called a midnight musical. We used to go over there and sing a lot, too, and we just had a good time, you know, growing up, and it just encouraged me to go even a little further.
Oh, great, great. I see you have also recorded with Dietrich Hatton. Matter of fact, I just saw a video of his the other day, and some others. Tell us about the project, what you did with Dietrich Hatton.
Yeah, I was a part of, I forget the year exactly, I'm sure it's on the bio, but I was a part of a choir. At that time, Dietrich had formed a group of young people just from around the city, and we came together and we sang at Perfecting Church, and we did a live recording. At that time, I believe he was with Ty Scott Records, and we did what is called New Hymns, and it kind of took some of the old songs and they upgraded them. But it was great. It was packed. It was just an exciting time. Dietrich is phenomenal, and been knowing him since we were kids also, and just been around different people recording. I also recorded with a school called a School of Ministry, and they would do a live recording every year. And the prophetess that was over it at that time, she would call me in, and we would do a live recording each and every year. And you're talking about a prophetic move. I mean, and we didn't really, they had it where they didn't really want us to necessarily rehearse the song.
Uh-huh.
So we would just kind of flow as God gave us, and the power
right.
of God filled in the house. Yeah.
Wow. You know, before we go any further, I do want to say thanks to Erica Lindsay for connecting us and helping put this interview together. So let me just say that because
yes.
I know she's.
Everybody ready? That's right, come on. Let's let him know how much we love him. He's been good. He's kept us through a pandemic, from danger seen and unseen. That's why we love him. Let's go.
Sunday morning. I like the way that perks you up. I went into a church the other morning and it makes a big difference. You know, you should be happy for something, right?
Yes,
and,
sir.
And some churches you go into, you wonder like, okay, why are they looking so sad? But then you can walk into a church and they'll have something playing like this, and it kind of, you know, it's praise and worship. You get, thank God
yes.
you're mm-hmm. up and alive, and that's what this song does. How did this project come about, this song?
Yeah, you know, I was in the studio, and I was kind of just coming up with some ideas, and I just thought about how much, you know, God meant to me, and I was just thinking about, you know, the love of God, and even going back to some of our traditional songs, like, you know, the song, I Really Love the Lord, and it just, you know, just growing up, of course, being taught by my parents and just developing my own relationship with God, it just brought out that, it's interesting because I write from the heart, and so it just brought out that, those words and that melody, and I just felt the joy, you know, for the love that I have for God.
Well, it comes right through, because I feel the joy and excitement listening to that song. Let me just open it up to the Sunday Morning Team. Henrietta, you got a question or comment for Pastor James Bowman.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, Pastor James. And I just want to say,
good morning.
Welcome to the show. I listened to this song, and automatically my whole body just started moving and, you know, to the beat and feeling the praise, like Michael said, in the song. What inspired you to continue in this music of gospel, being that we are such a secular world of music, and a lot of gospel music has been changed around to a lot of hip-hop, and they've incorporated with a lot of other secular types. What motivates you to stay in the traditional sound of gospel?
You know, first of all, good morning. Thank you so much. You know, it's just my love for God and understanding the responsibility. Michael and I were talking before the show started, and it's really understanding the responsibility of what God has placed in your hands, the giftings, the calling, and to know that, you know, in the end, you know, I can do whatever somebody else wants me to do. I can do what God wants me to do. And in the end, know that irregardless to whatever rewards the world might give you, God can always give you greater. And so it just encourages me to stand up for God, to be honest with you. It's just my desire, my love for God, and just want to please God.
As we were talking, Pastor Bowman, evangelist and prophetess Christy Laster Andrews just jumped on the line. Good morning, prophetess.
Good morning, Michael Vantool. Good morning to the amazing Sunday Morning Team. And good morning. I'm going to be respectful of Pastor Bowman.
You're a good friend for many years. So I know you almost said James or something, you know.
Good morning, Prophet. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. He's more a little bit closer to my brother's and sister's age. But, we grew up seeing each other in ministry. So it's no surprise to me that he's continuing on and doing music, because Pastor Bowman, he's been doing this music thing for a very long time and around some people that have traveled the world doing music, and they started out together in ministry.
Yeah.
So I am not surprised to see you continuing on. And I am not surprised to see you, you know, being the pastor that you are and leading God's people, because it's in your blood. It's in your blood.
Amen. Amen.
And we can tell the passion is there, and, you know, the dedication for ministering to people. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, you got a question or comment for Pastor James Bowman.
So good morning, Pastor James Bowman. I am very happy to hear your passion, your excitement, and your love for God. You know, we have talked the last few weeks about some terrible things that are happening in the world, and I know that having God at the center of your life is important. What would you say to someone who is struggling with trying to develop a relationship with God, especially who maybe likes gospel music but doesn't necessarily want to share it because they are ashamed, because as Henrietta said, we do live in a very secular world. What would you advise them to do?
Well, good morning, first of all. Thank you for your question. What I would say to them is, what I've learned in my walk is to be honest with God. That's the first thing. And even if you felt like you're ashamed, I would say go to God and say, Lord, you know, I'm feeling a little ashamed. I know you gave me this gift, and Lord, I need your help to show me how to put this out there to encourage somebody. Because what I discovered is that when you're honest with God, God already knows. He knows anyway. But when we're honest with him, we show him our humility, and we show him that we are, we put ourselves in a position to be teachable. And, of course, in to your first part of your question, you know, in a dying world, you know, God is looking for those to be a light in this world, you know, to stand up and be the difference. And don't be afraid to be different. You know, don't be afraid to show that whatever it is God gave you. Amen. The Lord gave me a revelation recently, because sometimes we hear so many dynamic singers, which is Prophetess Laster, and I know she's a dynamic singer herself.
Yes,
you hear
she
all
is.
These wonderful singers, her and her family, and sometimes you can get intimidated, you know. And the Lord told me, the Lord spoke to me, he said that it ain't necessarily better all the time. Sometimes it's just different.
Yeah.
And you got to operate in what he gave you.
Yeah.
And when you operate in what he gave you, it's going to come through.
That's right. Everybody's different, and everybody brings their gifts. Everybody is different. Isn't that something that God, there's nothing exactly the same. There's no one and no thing, nothing is exactly the same. God already put something in motion where everything is unique. Everything is different. It's amazing. What a ministry. I want to go to another song. This is called I Love You More. I Love You More Each Day.
In love with you, and it's true, what I feel inside for you, you bring me joy I never felt before. It's you that I adore. No one can make me feel the way you do. And I love you more and more. I love you. I love you more each day. I care for you more than words can say. Nobody ever made me feel this way.
I was going to ask you, was that you? You went up on a little high, some higher notes on that song there.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
But these are all beautiful. And we were talking about right before we came on about how the word love is the three tracks that I have today all have the word love in the name of it. I think I know this is something that you planned. What do you want this project to do for people? Love of love.
Well, my desire, my desire is that it would draw people to love God, and not just in the way that, God, I love you, but in an intimate way, in a way that you feel it in your heart, like you would your wife, you want to just love on God, really have a relationship where, God, you mean so much to me. And that was my desire. To tell you the truth, I was working on a project, and I was going to call it the Christian Love Project. But as I was in the studio and putting things together, the Lord kind of revealed to me the Level Up Project. And so that may come about in the future, but that's what happened. And actually, this song here, I'm actually working on my very first music video. It'll be airing soon. I will get you all the information. I'm going to premiere it And of course, everyone here, all your team, I know you, I think you're maybe out of the state, but they are certainly invited to come out to the premiere. But this is my very first music video, and it will be based on this song here.
Well, congratulations. And I know how big of a project doing a video is. So it's an investment, and you have to pull so many talented people together to do that project. So I know it's a big thing. Prophetess Christy, you have a question or comment for your good friend, Pastor James Bowman?
Yes, you know, I really appreciate how he brought up that we're all different and we're all unique, because I was having a conversation yesterday about the uniqueness of all of us. And you said that, you know, being around some people, it can be intimidating. He knows my whole family and all that they do.
Yeah.
But
I
appreciate Pastor James Bowman for just being authentically himself. So I guess it's not so much of a question, it's more of a comment, and allowing your gifts to be shared with the world, because God is not looking for us to be like anyone else. He gifted us in a particular way so that what is in us can bless somebody. So there are people that need to hear the sound that we carry, you know, the sound that you carry. They need to hear Kimberly on this show. They need to hear Michael Van Tool. But God uniquely has given you a gift that may be different from others, but it's what people need. So I just want to encourage you to just keep doing what you're doing. I'm looking forward to the video. I love when gospel artists put out good videos. It just, I don't know, that's just something I love personally, because we see all of the other advertisement for the things that young people are drawn to. But when someone is able to take a stand and put what God has given them in their heart, put that out into the atmosphere, you'll see lives change. So keep that up. That's good stuff.
Yes, the video
takes
it to another level, and it connects with people, and it you know, helps them to understand what you're trying to convey even more. Here's another track. It's called That's Love.
God's love won't change. I'm glad about it. Check it.
I'm here with Pastor James Bowman. He has a new project, Level Up, and we're listening to some of the tracks from the song. Pastor Bowman, you have a concert coming up live, and you have a backup group singers with you, a choir. Do they go with you all the time, or do they just join you at certain times? Because I noticed it says with the Life Worship Singers on March 25th.
Yeah, they'll be with me in the concert, by the way. Thank you for mentioning that. It is March 25th, 2023. Doors will open at 6 p.m. And it's going to be at Evangel Christian Church, amen, in Roseville. But, yeah, I take them as much as I can. You know, what I discovered is, when we were younger, as the prophetess Laster said, when we was coming along and I'm like me and her brother, we're the same age, and we were all singing. You know, I thought about it, and I said, "Wow, we could do it then because we didn't have as much things that we had to do, you know. And now we have a lot of responsibilities. That's what I was looking for. And so since we have so many responsibilities now, sometimes it's hard to get all the singers to go with you. But as much as I can bring them, I do. Yeah, but I had some tremendous singers that sang with me. If it's all right, I'll mention a couple of names. Is that okay?
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
All right. I got Minister Sharice Russo, her sister Shonda Brooks, Shonda Scott, DeAngela Jackson. I had Cornelia Golden, and even back from my earlier project, just so many different people, Claylene Woods, Crystal Thomas. Just got some others. I got a Deacon Jesse, and just a lot of different ones that sing with me. Sister Christian, also Lady Hester, and yeah, we just come together because we love the Lord, and that's what I love about them. They're singing not for fame and fortune, although, you know, as I tell people, we all want to be successful. You know,
that's right. It won't hurt, will it?
But not at this. Amen. Amen. But not at the expense of forgetting God. And so
that's right.
You know, we're doing it for the love of God, you know, because we love God, and whatever, you know, comes along or whatever God wants to do as far as blessing and doors open, we thank him. But the main thing is really just getting the word out, encouraging people. Michael, I tell you, the mission that God has given me in this go around here is to glorify God, to edify the church, and to touch the world. And that's what I go by.
Well, you are on a mission. I know we just got about 4 more minutes left. I do have one last question for you. And if the Sunday morning team has a question, they can go ahead. How many CDs have you done now, completed? And how many songs have you written? I mean, how deep is this?
Oh, wow. Well, I'll try to make it quick because I know you got short time. Well, if I go back to 20 years ago, that's when I released my first project. It was called Count It All as Joy. Mm-hmm. And I just want to give you a little history on that project. I remember when I started this project, because I hope this encourages somebody. I remember when I completed the project, I didn't have a dime. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I just had faith. And I told God, I said, God, if I have to press out at that time CDs, I said, I had to press out one CD, 10 CDs at a time. That's what I'll do. In the midst of that, I met a guy. I was at the pawn shop just looking around for instruments and things of that nature. Met a guy. We got to talking. He told me about a company, and I signed with this company. It was called Galactic Entertainment. My artwork, I met an Elder Rainey, graphic and design. And all of these people I'm mentioning, they didn't charge me a dime. But when I signed with the distribution company, he mass produced my CD to where it was everywhere. I remember going into Sam Goody's at that time, and I just walked in there, you know, the people didn't know who I was, and I looked into the gospel section, and at that time they would have cards with the people's names on them for the section. It blew me away because there was a James Bowman section. And, you know,
didn't that make you feel good?
Oh, man, And to tell you the truth, it was surreal because I'm living in the moment. I'm looking at it, and when I look back, I said, God, all I had was faith. I didn't have a dime when I started. I just had faith, and God blessed me. But that was my very first CD project. So many help with that, wonderful singers. And then I had a couple of singles along the way. They were as good as I wanted them to be, but it was a learning process.
Now,
20 years later, yeah, God has brought me to this place. Go ahead.
It's good to have, you know, good people around you dedicated like that, because I know that makes you feel better as you are singing, to know that you've got some backup there, you know, gives you that level of confidence. Minister Smith, just join us on the line. Minister Smith, we're talking with, he's also part of the Sunday morning team. We're talking with Pastor James Bowman, a new project out. Minister Smith, you just completed one too, so you kind of know the process. Do you have a question or comment for Pastor James Bowman?
First of all, good morning, Sunday morning team, and deference
good
to
morning.
You, Pastor.
Good morning.
Yeah, you too, Pastor Heath. I mean, Pastor Van Too. So,
Pastor. Okay.
Michael's ready. You need to talk to him.
Go ahead, say, Minister Smith.
I salute you. And hey, Don Don. And so I'm with you. I support you.
Amen. Appreciate you.
Until Pastor.
I know Pastor Smith, you're probably walking. Yeah. I think he's walking into church now. And we kind of hear him. We can tell that. So thank you, Pastor Smith, for, talking with us, joining us on the line this morning. Absolutely.
Ventu, let's talk later.
Absolutely, sir. Okay, God bless you this morning.
Blessings
Pastor
to you
Bowman,
both.
Great.
Yes, sir.
Henrietta, did you have any last question or comment, Kimberly or that, Prophetess?
Yes, I just wanted to ask one question. Dietrich Hadrick has an amazing video out that was shot parts of here in the city of Detroit. There was a scene with Pastor Wayne T. Jackson, and it was amazing. Just wanted to know, were you a part of that project as well?
No, I wasn't. I hadn't seen that one. I've seen another video he did. I think it was at Beans and Cornbread. But no, I wasn't a part of that video at all. No.
Well, we can't wait to see yours. So you got to let us know when and where we can see this when it's done. So I know you're going to be working. You're going to have a busy year this year. Kimberly?
Yes, sir.
I just am amazed at all the things that Pastor Roman does. And just thank you for sharing. Thank you for your words and wisdom. And I pray this encourages someone because he's doing amazing work.
Amen.
I think it's appropriate for Prophetess Christie to have the last word here, Prophetess.
Oh my goodness, that's so special. So first thing is, Henrietta, we were in that video. Myself, my sisters, and my brother, we were in the video with Dietrich when he came the other year. But the other thing is, I may have missed this on the front end of the interview. I have two questions. One, are you producing your own music? And are you doing the music? Because I know that you're a musician as well. And then the other question is, I may have missed on the front end, is where can we find your music? I download a lot through Apple Music, but where can we find your music?
Okay, thank you so much, Prophetess. So you can find the music, all of the social media outlets, but I generally tell people if you can download from iTunes or Apple Music, I actually have a promo running that if they download and send me a copy of the purchase, they'll get two free tickets to the concert in March. But, yeah, you can get it at all of the social media outlets, whatever you stream or however you go about it, they're there. Yes, to answer your question, yes, I do produce and write all of the songs. Of course, as you know, we know so many people. I look to work with different ones, and I have worked with different ones before. Of course, my cousin Cordell, he's on the road now, but sometimes we get together and things of that nature. But, yeah, I enjoy it, and, you know, it's a blessing to be able to do something that you love and you enjoy and God has gifted you to do. I want to say one more thing, if that's okay. Prophetess, we were over at Apostle Moore's church, and you preached a couple years ago. And the Lord used you to pray for me, and I just want to thank you for your obedience because that was a blessing. You know, that service is highly anointed, and I just wanted to thank you. I want to take a moment. I don't think I got a chance to ever tell you that, but I appreciate you letting the Lord use you that day, that night.
Oh, glory to God. Thank you for sharing.
Pastor James Bowman, this has been a great conversation this morning. We are inspired by you. I just love the theme of love in your music. And, you know, we're looking forward to it. We'll make sure and keep talking about the concert coming up at Evangel Christian Churches in Utica, in Roseville on March 25th. So we will keep that open and alive and talking about it to then. And we will continue to play the music. Thank you so much. And again, thanks to Erica Lindsay for putting everything together for the interview this morning. Thank you, Pastor Bowman. We really appreciate you joining us here on the Michael Van Tool Show.
Thank you all so much for having me. God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Have
God
fun.
Bless you, too. And we're going to be
bless
listening
you.
To your music throughout the
thank you. God bless
days,
you.
Today and the days and weeks and months to come. God bless you.
Amen. God bless.
Everybody ready?
We will be back after.
That's right. Come on.
Break. And,
let's let him know how much we love him.
And weather and commentary from the
He's
Sunday morning.
He's been good.
Tonight.
He's
right
kept us
this.
Through a pandemic from danger seen and unseen. That's why we love him. Let's go.
A loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can outservice me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990.
It's a member of the Brill team.
We find them and fix them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them.
We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them and flip them.
Listen, we find them and fix them and flip them. We fix them and then we equip them. Got them drippin' with style, got them like wow. Now everyone wants to know how. If you wanna do it yourself, you can generate generational wealth.
Yeah.
It's so comprehensive and it's not expensive, essential for financial
health.
You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty@gmail.com. That's bbrosrealty@gmail.com.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120.
Great conversation with songwriter, producer, gospel artist, Pastor James Bowman. We're going to be playing his music throughout the program this morning. In the news this morning, a Michigan judge orders a trial for former police officer Christopher Scherer in the charged in the Patrick Loyola killing. A Michigan judge says a second-degree murder charge against the former Grand Rapids police officer will go to trial on February 3rd. An Indiana man died after falling from a cliff in Puerto Rico while trying to make a video for TikTok, according to his family. Edgar Garay, 27, of Indiana, was on a recreational day trip to the southwestern coast of Puerto Rico on January 29th when he fell off a 70-foot coastal cliff near the lighthouse in Cabo Rojo in Puerto Rico, according to a news release from the U.S. Coast Guard. The fall was reported to the Coast Guard that evening.
And unfortunately, Garay's body was recovered the next day by a Puerto Rico emergency dive unit. People have to be careful doing these selfies and TikTok videos. We have a story like that every few months now of somebody dying just to get a picture for TikTok or a selfie. In Iowa, nursing home is being fined $10,000 after declaring one of its residents dead and transferring her to a funeral home where she was found to be still alive. A report from the Iowa Department of Inspection and Appeals says the mistaken death declaration occurred on January 3rd after a staff member at the Glen Oaks Alzheimer's Special Care Center in Urbandale reported that the woman, 66, had died about 6 p.m. The report said the woman, who had early onset dementia, anxiety, and depression, had been in hospice care since December 28th. The staff member reported that she could no longer feel the woman's pulse and alerted a nurse practitioner who made the death declaration. In Iowa, law allows nurses and physicians' assistants to declare a patient dead. After 90 minutes at the funeral home, she was. They could hear somebody trying to gasp for air. She was in a body bag, so they unzipped the bag and saw that her chest was still moving. And then the staff called 911. Funeral home staff called 911. They responded to the call and said that the person was in cardiac arrest, but that proved to be incorrect. She just could not breathe through the body bag. And it's just unfortunate that that happened, because she also, she was sent back to the nursing home, and unfortunately she did expire at that time again. So unfortunate, yes. Let's get an update on the weather right now with Kimberly Batchelor Davis.
Well, good morning. It is, I would consider it a heat wave today compared to the weather we came here.
It
was so cold. I'm just saying. It's 38 degrees right now and cloudy.
Yes.
So today, expect our high to hit 38, which we're at. Our low today will be 26. It will be mostly cloudy. Tomorrow, expect partly cloudy skies with another high of 36 degrees and a low of 29. I wish Bishop was on. Tuesday, a high of 47 degrees. Woo-hoo! A low of 31. On Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high of 44 and a low of 34. On Thursday, sunscreen out. Rain showers, a high of 49 degrees and a low of
30. Right now.
Wow.
All right now.
I like your weather report today, Kim.
Yeah, we like you. We like you today.
That's Friday. Good weather.
Right. On Friday, rain showers that are going to mix late, possibly into snow, with a high of 40 and a low of 25. And on Saturday, we will have partly cloudy skies with a high of 37 and a low of 25. So keep your umbrellas close this week. You can, not end. Just have a great week. And that's the weather.
Yeah. I'm so glad we're out of that frozen snap, that deep freeze we've been in over the past. And I hope that it's done. I hope that's it. And I hope that we're back to this nice weather for the rest of the winter. Some places have it really, really bad right now. I think on the East Coast they had the coldest ever in U.S. history. Isn't that strange? They had the coldest day ever in U.S. history in New Hampshire this past week. Yes, that is something. I want to go around and catch everybody's, hear from everybody, but I did want to say a couple things before we why did it take so long to shoot down that balloon, that Chinese
balloon? Okay, me and you on the same wavelength this morning.
They shot it down yesterday evening around 5:00 last night. But I agree with the governor of Montana. He said, why didn't you shoot it down over Montana? There's hardly anybody in Montana. That would have been the perfect time. You know, they said they were worried that the debris
exactly.
would fall and hit people. Ain't nobody in Montana. They could have shot it down there.
Yep.
The governor
well,
even
there
said
was
it.
One in
there's
Carolina
so many,
or over
there,
the Carolina.
Yeah, there's so many wide open spaces in Montana they could have shot it down. I don't know what that was about.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think they did.
Well, you know what,
somebody,
Mike, I'll say this.
Somebody wanted to waste time and play around with this.
Well,
they,
I'll say this. Now you're talking
one
point. If he was an officer, he'd shot it down. If he would have shot it down, he'd be like, oh, shoot it down. I'll give him that point because he liked to shoot stuff down. So Trump probably would have just shot it on out the area anyway.
I think somebody said that he would have shot it down as it approached the U.S., you know? I'm so tired of us having to respond to things that China does or Russia. Can we do something? Let us throw a punch this time. I'm tired of us having to respond to stuff.
Right.
You know, Vladimir Putin and Russia, they continually do stuff. Let us do something now. We get pushed around. And we should have shot that.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. We should have shot that balloon down as it approached.
As soon as they seen it coming toward us, it should have been like poof, like right then and there.
Yeah.
But it didn't show up
like,
on radar. That was the problem. It didn't show up on radar. So this is technology that they're using to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's supposed to be a warship off the coast of Hawaii that's Russian.
Mm-hmm.
You have now balloons, these whatever, weather balloons or whatever, that are from China.
Mm-hmm.
And so this seems to me, I'm looking for the third country because there nothing new under the sun and everything repeats for cycles. And so, you know, in World War II, you had Germany, Italy, and Japan. So now I'm looking for who's the third. Is this North Korea? Because remember, North Korea was threatening to send rockets, and their rockets never quite made it this far, but who knows where technology is and who's
North Korea is another one. We need to start being proactive and taking, like I said, we need to throw the first one.
Yeah.
Have any of you been watching Kingdom Business starring Yolanda Adams?
I have not seen the new episode. So they start the new episodes already?
Yes, I've been watching. And let me tell you, it's produced by Kirk Franklin. Kirk Franklin is the producer. Yolanda Adams needs to get an award for her role as Danita, the first lady on Kingdom Business. If you watch it, you'll see. Where has Yolanda Adams been all this time? I know she's a gospel singer, and I know she's been on the radio. Actually, she had a morning stint on gospel radio at one time. But she found her calling. Let me tell you, she fits right into that role as kind of like a diva. She's not the friendliest character on the show. You don't want to mess with her, okay?
Yeah.
But she is eating that role up, and she needs to get an award for that. I just think it's a Her role is great. It's an interesting series, but she is stealing the show. As far as I'm concerned, she's doing a good job stealing the show on that show. The last thing before I called Henrietta this week and had to vent because I know we need the speed bumps because crazy people racing up and down these streets. Killing children, playing, you know, in their yards and on the front and on the sidewalks and stuff, and running into people. But however, it's just another one of those quality of life issues that we have to deal with in the city. I get so tired, you know, and I'm doing a lot of driving, you know, working with the commissioner now, and I'm going to a lot of residential streets. And I get so tired of having to put on my brakes and, you know, because even if you're going the speed limit, you still have to slow down going over those humps. And
I get so tired of it. And you know what? We have to keep breaking. So our break costs go up. You can't and you can't carry too much heavy stuff in your car. You know, weight it down because the bottom of the car is going to scrape the ground going over these humps. I just get tired. I don't know of anybody else how you guys feel, but I'm just so tired. And I actually now look forward to an alternative route when I'm driving to avoid the streets with the humps, because as soon as you get outside of Detroit, they're gone.
Mhm.
Mhm. I'm just tired of it.
You know, Michael, I have to just say this. I agree with you. I think that we need to have an alternative to that, because, like you said, a lot of stuff that happened in our city, it doesn't happen in our surrounding suburbs.
Right.
So that says something.
Yep.
I think they just need to be stiffer. I mean, because I'll say this. When you go to the suburbs, you have more police presence, even if they're just sitting on the corner or parked in the neighborhood or a side street. And that's a constant. That's not like if something happened, we got to post somebody here just in case so it won't happen again, just to kind of let the perpetrators know we're here. It is, they are there. So in those surrounding suburbs, they're going to obey the law, because you just don't know where a cop going to come out of, but you do know one is going to be posted somewhere. So it gives you that that knowledge of knowing I can't speed because I don't want a ticket, because if I try it, there's a high chance that I'm going to get pulled over. Here in the city, we don't have enough police officers to do those kind of neighborhood patrols. So in turn, I guess this was the solution. Well, you know, we know we get a lot of complaints about speeding. We ran on, you know, we went to scenes where because someone was speeding, a child was hit or a house was hit or something tragic happened. So let's put these speed bumps down and to avoid that. That's an alternative to just hiring and putting more presence. Like, this
right.
is what we pay our taxes for. And I say
and
that
I don't know
speed
these,
bumps
I don't know
really
these
don't officers. Slow anybody down per se,
mm-hmm.
because I was almost killed last year with a guy coming up the street while I was working and went over that speed bump like it wasn't even there.
Yeah, I know that some people go over those
mm-hmm.
speed bumps without slowing
mm-hmm.
down. And I could sometimes
mm-hmm.
I can hear them scrape their cars. It's
mm-hmm.
probably the best thing that we can do right now, but it's very stressful if you are
yeah.
on the road and you have to drive down these residential streets in Detroit on a daily basis. It's very
mm-hmm.
stressful to have to deal with those humps in the road.
And some of those bumps are sharp, too.
Some of them
All
are
of
high.
Them are not smooth.
Yeah.
Some of them are kind of sharp.
Yeah, some of them are a little bit higher than I think they should be, because
mm-hmm.
even if you go over them real slow, you could, you know, like I said, sometimes the bottom of your car actually scrapes it. Even when you're
mm-hmm.
going at the suggested speed limit, you know. But anyway, that's along with a lot of other things that
but
we
you're
have
right.
to deal with, like high car insurance in the city. You know,
mm-hmm.
some places I went to a place yesterday. And the person had to leave their bag at the front desk. They couldn't go into the store with a bag of stuff that they purchased from another store. And I
mm-hmm.
saw the security guard give it back to them on their way out. That doesn't happen except for in the city. So it's a lot of little things like that that we have to tolerate
mm-hmm.
and put up with just because where we live and you know,
mm-hmm.
so the way I get around it to deal with it, that's why I go on vacation, because
you
gotta get out of this sometimes.
You gotta get away from it. Yeah,
that everybody in the world does not live like this. You know, there
that's
are places
true.
That they
mm-hmm.
they don't have to deal with a lot of this stuff, and if we told them what we had to deal with, they'd be like, well, why are you living there? You know. Anyway,
right.
All right, let's go down. I want to hear from you guys. Henrietta, go ahead.
So, you know, I've been kind of following the story about the young man who was killed in Memphis, Mr. Tyrese Nichols, and you and I had a conversation about that earlier this week about how swiftly they apprehended the officers who did the beating and killing of this young man, and how a lot of social media conversation was going around. Why did they arrest the black officers? They did it because they were black and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, my feedback on that is this. I don't care what color you are. I wish that this could happen with every officer who was found on camera committing those kind of crimes. But I feel like that type of leadership needs to be had in every city that has been experiencing police brutality. I don't think we need, and I agree with the masses, we don't need to wait a year, 6 months, 6 weeks for evidence when the evidence is right there in case of George Floyd, who was killed right there on camera, like it was, the whole world saw it. And it took a trial, like a lengthy trial to convict this officer. They tried to find everything humanly wrong with George Floyd other than the fact that he was killed for no reason. So I feel like there needs to be stronger legislation. I really, 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 really feel, and I work around a lot of policy conversation, but one of them that really sticks with me is we really got to get some strong police reform in every city in this country, because it has gotten out of hand. Someone said that they, you know, some of the reform was you no longer see chokings now. Okay, so now we don't move past the chokings to beatings now. So I, you know, personally for me, I feel like the family, and I saw the mother's video the other day with CNN, Noah, I can't think of the exact name, but she did a personal interview, her and her husband and their lawyer, Mr. Crump, did an interview. And the pain I saw in that mama and that mother's face, it was heart-wrenching. I just hope and pray that this sets the president's scale of we need police reform right now, today, and forever. And unless we're going to just continue to allow this to happen, I think that we really need to get more legislative around retraining, firing, redoing protocols, cut that blue safety net and make it a job. It shouldn't be a fraternity. It should be a job that serves the community. So that's my feedback on that. My sympathy goes out and condolences to the family. To all the families, but to her particularly because it just happened. And yes. I just pray that we get stronger reform around this police injustices in our country.
Yes, you are so right. And they are continuing to identify and reprimand and fire additional officers now. It's well over 10 mm-hmm. now. I think it's more like mm-hmm. closer to 13 mm-hmm. or more that they have identified
mm-hmm.
that
and the EMT workers that stood by as well.
Yep. That have been fired or suspended as a result of this. Mm-hmm. Yes. Kimberly Batchelor Davis.
So good morning. I'm gonna switch gear because it's Black History Month. And I mm-hmm. came across this article and I thought it was interesting. Brave Bessie gets her likeness on New Barbie as Mattel honors the first Black female pilot. A brave young Black woman who became a pilot in the 1920s and even walked on the wings of airplanes while in midair has become the latest hero to be honored in the Barbie doll series featuring inspiring women. Known for her daring adventures as a barnstorming stunt flyer, Bessie Coleman broke new ground in the field of aviation. She also inspired generations of Black, Native American, and female pilots. Despite facing racial and gender discrimination, Bessie Coleman became the first Black and Native American female aviator. She also became the first Black person to earn an international pilot's license. She had to go all the way to France to get the license because there were no pilot training opportunities for Black women in the U.S. at the time. The brave Bessie doll was sculpted to her likeness and dons a traditional olive green aviator suit, including a cap with her initials BC. It was great to learn more about such a daring and wonderful woman who was ahead of her time to the doll's packaging designer, Priscilla Barra. Bessie's great niece, Gigi Coleman, said, "Keeping Bessie's legacy alive has always been a labor of love for my family. We hope through this doll more people will discover Bessie's story and be inspired." Coleman was born on January 26, 1892, and grew up poor in Atlanta, Texas. She helped her mother pick cotton to earn money, but Coleman wanted to attend college. After she could only afford one semester, she heard that women in France had more rights and could even fly airplanes. However, Coleman made it her mission to become a pilot. However, American aviators would not teach her, so she studied the French language, saved up her money, and at age 29, she sailed to France, enrolled in flight school, and received her international pilot's license on June 15, 1921. She returned to the U.S. and amazed crowds with stunts that earned her the nickname Brave Bessie. In 1922, she She became the first African-American woman to stage a public flight and continued to make a living by showing off her barnstorming tricks. Her stunts included making figure eight shapes with her plane. She walked on her craft swings while in midair, and she even shot crowds by parachuting from the plane while a co-pilot took the controls. Coleman toured the country giving flight lessons and speeches and refused to perform for segregated crowds. At one event, Coleman learned that there would be separate entrances for black and white people. She said she would not perform unless there was only one gate. The event leaders agreed. Coleman died in 1926 at the age of 34, ironically, in a plane accident. However, the designers of the new Barbie released this month hopes to raise her status as an American icon to new heights. Have a wonderful February, and remember to celebrate Black History.
That was amazing.
I heard some teenagers on an interview this past week say that they love to hear about other people other than Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass. Yes, they were great people, but there were so many more, and we need to expand our horizons and start recognizing there's so many people that, you know, that's just like, you know, on the radio, they play people like Gladys Knight and Luther Vandross. They play the same song over and over again. These people made so many records over the years. And I'm like, can you play some of the other songs sometimes? You know, and I'm talking about Mix 92.3, 105.9. You know, it's like, play some of the other songs. We keep hearing the same ones over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm betting again. All right, Evangelist, Confidence, Christy Lasting.
Good morning again. I just have a really, really quick thought this morning, and maybe we can focus on this for another Sunday. Yesterday we did Matters of the Heart Luncheon at the church, just dealing with knowing your numbers, knowing your good cholesterol numbers, your bad cholesterol numbers, understanding and knowing your blood pressure, having conversations. Since this is Black History Month, we have amazing history, but let's break one of the generational things that we have in a lot of African-American households is not talking about health, not talking about the things that impacted your elders and their elders that could potentially impact you as well, especially when it comes down to matters of the heart. So I know it's Heart Health Month, and we often talk about the physical heart, but then let's let that filter over into the seat of our emotions and our intellect. Let's talk about relationship things that affect the heart. One of the things that I learned in 2017 is that people can actually die of a broken heart. And a broken heart literally shows up on the ultrasound. It literally shows up when a person has experienced a broken heart and goes into cardiac arrest as a result. So the Bible tells us to guard our heart with all diligence, to guard our heart. So let's pay attention to our physical heart and also the seat of our emotions. I want to encourage us to love unconditionally. Even though people are getting more and more complicated these days, the world is full of violence, but it is our job to love people. And sometimes we have one-on-one opportunities to love people back into good health emotionally. So let's just consider the love that's in your heart and share it with others as we go about this month, our wonderful Black History Month.
Well said.
Beautiful.
And I believe that also, that it
absolutely
your attitude, whether you have a cold heart, can affect your health. If you have grudges and you keep holding on to them, I believe that can be detrimental to your health. Stress anger, all that, when you save all that up and don't deal with it the right way and you don't release it properly, I believe that it does create health problems for you. You know, it will manifest itself and start to turn. So just imagine what love does for you. If you have love in your heart and mind on a daily basis, as opposed to hate, it's so damaging to you as an individual, as a person. Some people don't get it, especially the people who, those grudges that people have, sometimes they don't even remember why they're not talking to somebody or why they are angry at somebody. It's been so long, they don't even remember. You know,
but what about the haters that are upset, Michael? What about the haters that are upset because we even have 1 month to celebrate our rich heritage?
Exactly. Doesn't it seem like any time we do something or set aside something for us, others don't like it? They find some, you know, we want to have a certain area where we have successful businesses. And then people want to stop that from happening. They used to burn it down whenever we built up an economic zone for African Americans in the past, all through the years.
Well, you know, so now they just raise the taxes and the rent on it, so you can, eventually you lose it. So that's another way of burning it down, is making it inaffordable.
Gentrification is what they call it now, where we get priced out of an area. Every time we try to do something, look at Black Lives Matter. You know, as soon as that got to be popular and famous, then people started saying, well, don't all lives matter? You know, every time we try to do something to help and lift ourselves up, here and others,
I saw an interesting video this week. I saw a very interesting video. There was a young white girl, and she was on TikTok saying, I am proud to be white. And then there were all these other people who happened to be white who were saying, you're proud to be white. And so this other girl said, who was white, she said, well, are you saying that you're proud to be white? Because when I say I'm proud, if you hear Black people say I'm proud to be Black, that's something powerful and empowering. But when you say I'm proud to be white, it means it's bad. And it was funny because you had different people who were commenting on it. And I said, this is the problem. No one's ever said that because you're white that you're bad or that it's inherently bad or good. All we're saying is that there are systems in place. When I sell a house as a Black person, if my house is worth more because I'm white, that's a problem. That has nothing to do with because you're white. That's systemic. That's how the system, the country was built. That's the problem. And I don't think you understand.
She didn't understand. She truly did not understand it.
Tone deaf is what they call it. Tone deaf.
And because they don't have to live in that perspective. I just had this conversation with someone. And they said, well, I'm tired of people making me feel bad. And I said, but no one is trying to make you feel bad. You feel bad because you're
looking at it. Try being Black and see how people see how you feel. Try it for
and
one
you know
day.
What, Kim, you're right. When they say stuff like that, it's like, why are you feeling bad for what's obvious? It's obvious that there that African American, Black American, I like to say, are at a disadvantage and always have been, and it hasn't stopped. It just got prettier. They put a pretty frame around it, but the injustices and the things that happen in our communities are still going on. So it's, when we are screaming and shouting and standing up for ourselves because we are Black, the Caucasian race tend to think we're trying to point a finger at them. It's not a finger-pointing issue. It's an issue of injustices. And all they have to do is sit back and say, hey, you know, we didn't know, but their parents know. So it stems from their upbringing to have been made to believe that, you know, they didn't do nothing wrong, and that these people are just crazy and they're just mad because they don't have what you have and they want to take away what you have. It's that kind of mentality that keeps these types of battles ignited and going on mm-hmm. in such a negative way. And when you hear people say, well, I'm proud to be white, I want you to be proud of whatever race you are in. But be proud because
exactly.
you are proud because you have accomplished something that made your race a better race, not because you
mm-hmm.
hear somebody else say, like you said, Kim, oh, black people saying they have proud to be black. Well, I'm proud to be white. It's not a battle. When we use that term
right.
proud to be black, that simply means we have overcome some atrocities.
And we're trying to keep our self-esteem because we get knocked
and
down.
And we're trying
sometimes.
To keep our self-esteem.
We're
that's
trying
an encouragement
to, right,
to each
we're
other.
We're to make things better. We're trying to – the reason we do stuff is to protect ourselves and make us better, have a better life.
Yeah.
That's how we do
right.
it. We're not doing it just
and also,
to,
Michael,
just
to add
say,
to that, too, is because
you know?
They don't have to say that they're proud to be white. When you see everything around you, when you look at your commercials, when you look at different
mm-hmm.
things, it's already put out there that white is the best because it's subliminally there. So
right.
when other races,
right.
black, brown, yellow, red races stand up and say that, hey, we're here too, it seems to be a conflict with what they call the majority race, which is the Caucasian. We're not in battle. We just
mm-hmm.
let the world know you're not the only ones who's doing great things. Other races are doing it too. We shouldn't, I mean, unfortunately, we shouldn't have to stand out and say, I'm black, I'm Arab, or I'm Mexican. We shouldn't have to use our color to define our greatness, but that's where
yeah.
we are with it. And until it's fixed where it's a human race and God knows when that's going to happen, we have to distinguish ourselves because everything around us has been deemed bad.
And I wish that these are the type of conversations that white people have when they are together. But I know they don't.
Mm-hmm.
I know they don't.
Mm-mm.
They need to start
mm-hmm.
to try to understand us better. And I don't think
right.
that those conversations occur. I just heard the other day that there's some homeschooling network here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
is teaching white supremacy
mm-hmm.
as part of the curriculum. And it's hard
mm-hmm.
for the states to combat it because it's not part of the public school system. This is choices that white families are having, and you know, so that's why we have to have history in our schools and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a perfect
mm-hmm.
example right now of why we
mm-hmm.
have to do stuff because there
mm-hmm.
this system here that homeschooling network that's all to defeat us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? These things
mm-hmm.
that are in place to defeat us, to take from us,
mm-hmm.
to rob from us,
mm-hmm.
to injure
mm-hmm.
us as a people. And that's
mm-hmm.
why we
mm-hmm.
go and protect ourselves and say
mm-hmm.
and do things on our own behalf. I tell you,
mm-hmm.
anyway. I hope some
good
people.
Good point, Michael.
Listen.
Very good
I hope
point.
They listen. I hope they listen to this show, and
so
hear
too.
Some of this stuff. Yes. Anyway, guys, what a great morning, great show. I am just about getting ready to head out to service myself. Thank you guys for being on. Thank you for participating. We had a great interview with Pastor James Bowman this morning. And even had some connection to the Sunday morning team. How about that? With Prophetess Christy Laster. So it was great. Great surprise, I'm sure, for
mm-hmm.
Prophetess Christy to hear a friendly voice on the show like that. But we've got more. On upcoming shows, we've got community organizer and activist Ismael Terry. He's coming on to join us. We've got Nurse Nikki, and it's all about health related. She's got Mary Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be on not only
mm-hmm.
what State Center and
mm-hmm.
think
and also community activist. She's a community activist as well.
Yes, we're going to have a lively conversation with her. And there's more. I'm telling you, we are probably booked up to the end of to the end of March for interviews.
Okay, awesome. Great.
We've got yes,
that's
we've
good.
Got,
great.
So every Sunday morning at 9, we're gonna have another interview. And and I gotta tell you, guess what? Listenership is up. listenership is up.
All right. Praise God.
That's great.
Since we started this year's interview. So we're going up.
Yes. I love it.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you guys. Have a great day. God bless you. We're going to listen to some more of James Bowman on the way out. Have a beautiful Sunday. See you next time.
Have a great Sunday, everyone.
Have a great
Sunday. Everybody ready? That's right. Come on. Let's let him know how much we love him. He's been good. He's kept us through a pandemic, from dangers seen and unseen. That's why we love you. Let's go.
I love you, Lord. I love. Yes, I do. I love you, Lord. I love you. Yes, I do.
I love.
Said I really do. I was driven without a cell.
Love you, Lord.
Oh yeah.
I really, really love you, Lord.
You've been good.
Everybody ready? That's right, come on. Let's let him know how much we love him. He's been good. He's kept us through a pandemic, from danger seen and unseen. That's why we love him. Let's go.
Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120. Today's program was produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, experts in small business support services. Call 248-516-8300 to start your business today. The Michael Van Tool Show can be heard every Sunday morning at 7:30 on the Detroit Praise Network. Thank you for listening.